We're on chapter 15, page 225 in Lamrim Chemo. The training in the four ways to gather disciples that helps others to mature. Training in the four ways has five parts. What the four ways to gather disciples are, the reason they are stipulated as four, their functions, the need for those who gather following to rely on them, a somewhat elaborate explanation. So regarding the first one, generosity is, as earlier explained in the section on the perfection, and pleasant speech is teaching the perfections to disciples. Working at the aims is setting disciples to work on the aims as they have been taught, or involving them in correctly taking up these aims. And four, consistency of behavior in stabilizing yourself in the very aims in which you have established the others, and then training in them. The ornament for the Mahayana Sutra says, this verse, generosity is the same as before, teaching the perfections, involving others in taking them up, and involving yourself as are asserted to be pleasant speech, working at aims, and consistency of behavior respectively. And the reason there is stipulated as four, regarding that question, why are the ways of gathering disciples set as four? Reply, in order to gather a following of disciples, for the sake of establishing them in virtue, they must first be pleased. This, moreover, depends on your giving them material things, providing benefits to their bodies. Thus pleased, they first must know how to connect to the path. That is to say, by using the pleasant speech to explain the teaching, you cause them to cast away ignorance and doubt, and then to correctly apprehend the aims. Once they have understood these, you cause them to accomplish virtue by working at these aims. However, if you have not accomplished virtue yourself, when you say to others, you have to engage in this, you have to reject that, they will say, why do you tell us accomplish this aim when you do not accomplish it yourself? You still need somebody else to correct you. They will not listen to, they have to practice. But if you are practicing yourself, they will think, oh, this person is establishing the virtue to which he or she is leading us, so we will definitely derive benefit and happiness if we accomplish it. Then they either engage in it anew or do not reject it and become stable in it. So for this, you have to be consistent in your behavior. The ornament for the Mahayana Sutra say, know the way to gather disciples to be four, a method to give benefit, involving others in comprehending the teachings, involving them in engaging, and likewise involving yourself. Their function, what do these four ways to gather disciples do for the disciples? Reply, generosity makes them fit vessels to hear the teachings, for it makes them happy with the person who explains it. Pleasant speech makes them take interest in the teaching that is to be given, because it gives them a detailed understanding of the aims and dispels their doubts. Working at the aims makes them practice in accord with what they have been taught. Consistency of behavior makes those who have engaged in the teachings not reject them, but practice for a long time. The ornament for the Mahayana Sutra Alamkara says, by the first they become vessels, by the second they take interest, by the third they practice, by the fourth they train. And number four, the need for those who gather a following rely on them, because the Buddhas have declared, these four ways to gather disciples to be what achieves all the aims of all disciples, and to be the superb method those gathering a following must rely on them. Mahayana Sutra Alamkara states, those involved in gathering a following, relying on these means, it is praised as the superb method achieving all aims for all. And a somewhat elaborate explanation. There are two types of pleasant speech. The first, pleasant speech associated with worldly customs, means that you first assume a clear expression free of anger, give a smile, and then please living beings in worldly ways, such as inquiring after their health, etc. The second type, pleasant speech associated with presenting the perfect teaching, means that you instruct living beings in the teaching for their benefit and happiness, beginning with the teachings on developing faith, ethical discipline, steady generosity, and wisdom. The avenues of pleasant speech are as follows. To an enemy who would kill you, you say helpful words without a fault in your heart. With a very dull-witted, you willingly rise to the challenge, tirelessly giving talks on the teaching and causing them to adhere to virtue that devious beings who deceive their masters, abbots, etc., and engage in wrongdoing. You speak pleasantly with helpful words and without anger, teaching even the most difficult persons, in order that persons whose minds have not matured may eliminate its obscuration and be reborn in happy realms. You give discourses to them on preliminary practices, generosity, and ethical discipline. To persons whose minds have matured, who are rid of obscurations and possessed of a joyful frame of mind, you reveal the foremost and perfect teaching of the Four Noble Truths. You encourage householders and renunciates who are careless to be conscientious, and to those who have doubts, you speak elaborately and explain the teaching to them to dispel their doubts. Working at the aims is twofold, bringing the immature to maturity and liberating the matured. It is also presented in three parts as follows. One, involving persons in taking up the aims of this life, and two, involving persons in taking up the purpose of future lives, and three, involving persons in taking up the aims of this, both this and future lives. Work at the aims, even when it is very difficult, it is difficult to induce those who have not previously accumulated roots of virtue to take up virtue. It is difficult to work at the aims with respect to those who have magnificent resources because they live in a situation where there are so many grounds for being unconscientious. And it is difficult to work at the aims with respect to those who are indoctrinated with a view of non-Buddhist philosophers because they are hostile to the teaching and because of their foolishness they do not understand reasoning. With respect to the stages of working at the aims, you first cause those with childlike intelligence to follow easy personal instructions. Then, when their understanding has reached a middling level, you have them follow intermediate personal instructions. Finally, when their wisdom has greatly expanded, you have them follow the profound teaching and subtle personal instructions. Consistency of behavior means that you maintain practices equal to or superior to those in which you establish others. Accordingly, even though in whatever you do, you must first focus on the welfare of living beings and not lose your resolve for others' welfare. You must discipline yourself in conjunction with these pursuits. Tri Ratna Dasa's praise of infinite qualities says, some who are undisciplined use reasonable words, but contradict these words, so they are called unable to help others to discipline themselves. Knowing this, you place all living beings in your heart and strove to discipline yourself wherever you had lacked discipline before. The four ways to gather disciples also comprise two categories: gathering disciples via material things and gathering disciples through the teaching. Giving material thing is the first of the four ways to gather disciples. The remaining three of the four ways are included in the second, gathering disciples through the teaching. Furthermore, this latter category includes the teaching of the objects of meditation, the teaching as put into practice, and the teaching of purifying oneself in practicing these two. Ornaments of the Mahayana Sutra states, the four ways to gather disciples are asserted as two ways of gathering, by material things and by teaching, which means presenting the objects of meditation, etc. Moreover, these four ways to gather disciples are the way all the bodhisattvas of the three times work for the welfare of others. So it is a single path to travel. The single path to travel, the ornament of the Mahayana Sutra says, all those who have gathered disciples are gathering and will gather them, do so in this way. Therefore, this is the path for the maturation of living beings. In general, then, though the bodhisattva deeds are limitless, the six perfections and the four ways to gather disciples are their best summation for bodhisattvas. Have just two tasks, the maturation of causal collections for their own Buddhahood and the maturation of mind stream of living beings. They accomplish both of these through the perfections and the ways of together disciples. And thus, the Bodhisattva level also says, the perfection brings to complete maturation the Buddha qualities you will have yourself. The ways together disciples will bring all living beings to complete maturation. In some, know these to be the active expression of a bodhisattva's virtuous qualities. Therefore, I have set forth in this section these two categories of practice. If you want to know them in more detail, look in the Bodhisattva levels. With respect to the way that the practices are done during and after meditative equipoise, the elder says, the deeds of Bodhisattvas are the magnificent six perfections and so forth. The yogi arisen from meditative equipoise resolutely accomplished the path of accumulation. Beginning Bodhisattvas who have taken the vows of conqueror's children are on the path to accumulation, practice only the six perfections, whether in meditative equipoise or subsequent to it. They sustain some of the perfections in. So this is finished, and we move on to the middle-length lamrim. Training the four means to gathering disciples. So need to rely on the four means to gathering disciples and the summarized meaning. Middle-length Lamrim. The first three perfections and some other of concentration and wisdom are sustained in subsequent attainments. Joyous effort occurs in both meditative equipoise and subsequent attainment. One class of patients, some minds are sitting the profound dharma, also occurs during meditative equipoise. Whenever you arise, the elder said, whenever you arise from meditative equipoise, familiarize yourself with the view of all phenomena as equal to the eight illustrations of illusions. Subsequently, purify conceptions and give priority to the training in method. At the time of meditative equipoise, balance, calm, abiding with special insight. Familiarize yourself with this continuously. If you hear about such a wonderful contact, so hard to do due to the mind being untrained, it produces anguish in the mind. Although even bodhisattvas are unable to practice it right from the start, if you come to understand it and acquaint yourself with it, down to being an object to be aspired for, later on you will come to naturally engage in it without depending on it. That is why familiarization is important for. So, at the end, this concludes the explanation of training in the aspiring mind through the stages of the path to great beings and the stages of path of training in the conduct of the victor's children in general. Now, Volume 3, Lamrim. Lamrim Volume 3. The serenity, in particular, how to train in the last two perfections, the benefit of cultivating serenity and insight, how serenity and insight include all states of meditative concentration, the nature of serenity and insight, why it is necessary to cultivate both, how to be certain about their order. The most venerable teacher, have great compassion, I bow with respect at their feet, in particular, and so regarding number. In particular, how to train in the last two perfections. Training in the last two perfections, in particular, is the way to cultivate meditative serenity and insight. Because serenity and insight are included under the perfections of meditative stabilization and wisdom, respectively. This section has six parts. The benefits of cultivating serenity and insight, showing that these two include all states of meditative concentration, the nature of serenity and insight, why it is necessary to cultivate both, how to be certain about this order, how to train in each. Regarding the first, all of the mundane and supramundane good qualities of the Mahayana and Hinayana are the results of serenity and insight. The sutra unraveling the intended meaning says, Maitreya, you should know that all mundane and supramundane virtuous qualities, whether of Shravakas, Bodhisattvas, or Tathagatas, are the result of meditative serenity and insight. Quam, are not serenity and insight good qualities in the mind stream of someone who has reached them through meditation? How is it possible for all good qualities to result from these two? Those two reply, as will be explained, actual serenity and insight are good qualities in the mind stream of someone who has attained them through meditation. So all the good qualities of Mahayana and Hinayana do not result from them. However, concentrations which at least involve one-pointedness on a virtuous object are classified with serenity, virtuous cognitions that distinguish an ultimate or conventional object are classified with insight. This is what the sutra means in stating that all of the virtuous qualities of the three vehicles result from serenity and insight. So there is no contradiction. With that same purport, the sutra of cultivating faith in Mahayana states, child of good lineage. This list should inform you that the faith in Mahayana of the Bodhisattvas and indeed everything resulting from the Mahayana comes from accurately reflecting on facts and meanings with an undistracted mind. An undistracted mind is mental one-pointedness, the serenity aspect, while accurate reflection on facts and meanings refers to the discerning wisdom, the insight aspect. Thus, you must achieve all good qualities of the two vehicles through both sustained analysis with discerning wisdom and one-pointed focus on the object of meditation. You do not achieve them through one-sided practice of either analytical meditation or stabilizing meditation. Also, the sutra unraveling the intended meaning states, once people have cultivated insight and serenity, they are free from the bondage of dysfunctional tendencies and from the bondage of signs. Here, dysfunctional tendencies refers to latent potencies. Propensities in your mind, which can produce increasing degrees of misconception. Science refers to ongoing attachments to erroneous objects, which foster those propensities. Ratnakara Shanti's instructions for the perfection of wisdom states that insight eliminates the former, while serenity eliminates the latter. These are the benefits attributed to serenity and insight, but even when the term serenity and insight are not used, there are similar statements about the benefits of meditative stabilization and wisdom. They have realized that such statements describe the benefits of serenity and insight. How serenity and insight includes all states of meditative concentration, the branches, leaves, flowers, and fruits of a tree are limitless, yet the core point at which they all come together is the root. As in this example, serenity and insight are the sublime core at which gathers all that the Buddha says about the limitless states of meditative concentration in Mahayana and Hinayana. And then there's a quotation from this Sandinamochana Sutra, therefore, since those who are intent on attaining meditative concentration cannot comprehend a limitless number of distinct forms, they should know well and always rely on the techniques for sustaining serenity and insight, the synthesis of all concentrations. And then Kamala Shila, stages of meditation, quotations from there. And since these two include all states of meditative concentration, all yogis should at all times definitely rely upon serenity and insight. The next topic, the nature of serenity and insight. As to the nature of serenity, it is stated in the sutra unraveling the intended meaning. And this means that you and the meaning of the sutra is this means that you take as an object, a meditation object, appropriate object. As an object of meditation, an appropriate object, such as the five aggregates, having determined that it is the topic in which the 12 branches of scripture, in the 12 branches of so regarding the next quotation, it is said that the Chinese master Hoshang, having seen this sutra very clearly and undeniable explanation of that insight is discerning wisdom, clicks him. I don't know how this can be a sutra, and kicked it. He did this because the sutra statements did not agree with his claim that since all conceptualizations of any sort involves an apprehension of signs, you should dispense with this discerning wisdom and meditate on the profound meaning by not bringing anything to mind. This approach has a great number of adherents. In that sutra passage, differentiation means distinguishing the diversity of conventional phenomena. Full differentiation means distinguishing the real ultimate nature. The Noble Asanga explains that thorough examination is when conceptual attention possessed of wisdom apprehends a sign. Thorough analysis means proper examination. Examination means rough examination. Analysis means detailed analysis. The apprehension of a sign does not here refer to a conception of true existence, but rather to distinguishing the exact particulars of an object. Accordingly, there is both examination and analysis of both the real nature and the diversity of phenomena. In accord with this sutra, unraveling their intended meaning, the Cloud of Jewels sutra also clearly states serenity is one-pointed attention, insight is proper discernment. Also, the Venerable Maitreya says in the ornament for Mahayana Sutra, as the path of serenity, abbreviating the name of a phenomenon, understand the path of insight to be analysis of its meanings. And based on genuine stability, through directing your attention to your mind and through differentiating phenomena, there is meditative serenity and insight. This states that stabilization of your mind on the basis of genuine concentration is serenity and wisdom, and the wisdom that differentiates phenomena is insight. Since this comments to the same effect on what those sutras say, it is inappropriate to construe those sutra passages in some other sense. Also, as long as bodhisattva levels say. And this statement, after the quotation, says this statement accords with those cited above. It gives commentary to the same effect as the sutra and the text of the Venerable One, so it confirms the certainty of the foregoing identification of serenity and insight. And also in the stages of meditation, it states. And then Ratnakara Shanti's instructions for the perfection of wisdom says, with regard to that, serenity's object of meditation is non-discursive image of something which is either a case of the diversity of phenomena or which represents the real nature. Insight's object of meditation is a discursive image of something which is a case of the diversity of phenomena or which represents the real nature. This states that meditative serenity is non-discursive stabilization on something among either the diversity or the real nature of phenomena, and that insight is analysis of either of those two objects. This is also the intended meaning of the passage of Sutra unraveling the intended meaning. O Bhagavan, how many objects does serenity have? The Buddha replied, one, namely a non-discursive image. How many objects does insight have? Just one, a discursive image. How many objects of both are there? Two, namely the limits of existence and the achievement of your purpose. Asanga's Compendium of Knowledge states that the limits of existence refers to both the diversity and real nature of phenomena. So serenity and insight take both ultimate and conventionalities as objects of meditation. Just as Ratnakara Shanti explained above, thus meditative serenity and insight are not differentiated in terms of their respective objects of meditation, for there is a meditative serenity that knows emptiness, and there is insight which does not know emptiness. Also, meditative serenity is your own quieting movement towards your own mind, quieting movement towards external objects, and then abiding on internal object of meditation. Insight is superior, special seeing. Some claim that a mind resting on a discursive, non-discursive state without vivid intensity is serenity, while such a mind with a vivid intensity is insight. This is not correct because it contradicts the definitions of serenity and insight that are established at length in sources such as the words of the conquerors, the treatises of the regents, the texts of Asanga and Kamalashila's stages of meditation. These texts say that meditative serenity is attention concentrated one-pointedly on an object of meditation, while insight is wisdom that properly distinguishes the meaning of an object of knowledge. In particular, the presence or absence of vivid intensity of mind in a non-conceptual consciousness indicates whether the concentration is lax. It is utterly incorrect to claim that it indicates the difference between serenity and insight. This is because in all concentrations of meditative serenity, you definitely must clear away laxity. And because all concentrations free from laxity are invariably limpid states of mind, thus identify concentration and wisdom that focuses on real nature according to whether your mind knows as its object either of the two selflessnesses. Do not identify them according to whether your mind rests in a non-discursive clear and blissful state, because there are countless states of concentration which are blissful, clear, and non-discursive, yet which do not orient your mind towards the reality of objects, their lack of self. Even without finding the... So this part is finished, and next is why is it is necessary to cultivate the both. Why is it insufficient to cultivate either serenity or insight alone? Why is it necessary to cultivate both? I will explain. If you light an oil lamp for the purpose of viewing a picture in the middle of the night, you'll see the depictions very clearly if the lamp is both very bright and undisturbed by wind. If the lamp is not bright or is bright but flickering in the wind, then you will not see the images clearly. Likewise, when looking for the profound meaning, you will clearly see reality if you have both wisdom that unerringly discerns the meaning of reality and unmoving attention that stays as you wish on the object of meditation. However, if you do not have wisdom that knows how things are, even if you have a non-discursive concentration in which your mind is stable and does not scatter to other objects, then you lack the eyes which see reality. Hence, it will be impossible to know how things are, no matter how much you develop your concentration. And even with this perspective that understands reality, selflessness, if you lack a firm concentration that stays one pointed on its object, then it will be impossible to clearly see the meaning of the way things are, and because you will be disturbed by the winds of uncontrollably fluctuating discursive thoughts. That this is why you need both serenity and insight. Kamala Shila's second stages of meditation says, with bare insight that lacks serenity, the yogi's mind is distracted by objects, like an oil lamp in the wind. It will not be stable. For this reason, what sublime wisdom sees will not be very clear. As this is so, rely equally on both. Therefore, the great final Nirvana Sutra says, Shravakas do not see the lineage of the Tathagatas because their concentration is greater than their wisdom. Bodhisattvas see it but unclearly because their wisdom is greater than the concentration. The Tathagatas see everything because they have serenity and insight in equal measure. With the power of serenity, your mind, like a lamp placed where there is no wind, will be unmoved by the winds of discursive thought. With insight, others cannot divert you, since you have abandoned the infinite entanglements of bad views. As the Moon Lamp Sutra says, the power of meditative serenity makes your mind steady. Insight makes it like a mountain. So, mark the meditative serenity. The mark of meditative serenity is that your attention stays right where it is placed without distraction from the object of meditation. The mark of insight is that you know the reality of selflessness and eliminate bad views such as the view of self. Your mind is like a mountain in that it cannot be shaken by opponents. Therefore, you should distinguish these two marks. Before you achieve meditative serenity, you may use discerning wisdom to analyze the meaning of selflessness, but your mind is extremely unsteady, like a lamp in the wind. So your concept of selflessness is unclear. On the other hand, if you analyze, when you have achieved serenity, you avoid the faults of extreme unsteadiness, so your concept of selflessness will be clear. Thus, the mental state of insight has the quality of steadiness, which derives from non-discursive meditative serenity, and the quality of knowing how things exist, which does not derive from meditative serenity. For example, a lamp's ability to illumine forms derived from the wick and the preceding moments of flame. It does not derive from such things as the screen that protects it from the wind. However, the stability of the steady flame of lamp does derive from this screen. Thus, if you engage in analysis with the wisdom possessed of the meditative equipoise of serenity, a state undisturbed by laxity or excitement, then you will understand the meaning of reality. With this in mind, the Companion of Teaching Sutra states, when your mind is in meditative equipoise, you will understand reality just as it is. Kamalashila's first stages of meditation says, because your mind moves like a river, it does not rest without the foundation of meditative serenity. A mind that is not in meditative equipoise cannot understand reality just as it is. Also, the Bhagavan says, with meditative equipoise, you know reality just as it is. When you achieve serenity, you not only stop the false movement in the wisdom consciousness that properly analyzes selflessness, you also stop the fault of destruction from the object of meditation. Whenever you use discerning wisdom to conduct analytical meditation on topics such as impermanence, karma, and its effects, and the fault of cyclic existence, love, compassion, or the practice of spirit of enlightenment, no matter what your object of meditation, you engage it without distraction so that any virtue you cultivate is much more powerful. On the other hand, before you reach serenity, you weaken all of your virtuous deeds by frequent distraction to other objects. As Shantideva's engaging the Bodhisattva deeds says, the person whose mind is distracted lives between the fangs of the afflictions. And the one who knows reality has said that prayers, austerity, and such, even if practiced for a long time, are pointless if done with a distracted mind. Thus, the aim of attaining concentration in which your mind is non-discursively stabilized in on a single object without distraction, is to have mental serviceability, the ability to willfully direct your attention to virtuous objects of meditation. If you fix your attention so as long as finished with the quotation from the King of Concentration Sutras, beginning on page 23 of volume 3, which says, although a worldly persons cultivate concentration, they do not destroy the notion of self. Their afflictions return and disturb them, as they did Udraka, who cultivated concentration in this way. If you analytically discern the lack of self in phenomena, and if you cultivate that analysis in meditation, this will cause the result, attainment of nirvana. There is no peace through any other means. Also, in the scriptural collection of the Bodhisattvas says, those who are unlearned in the contents of the scriptural collection of Bodhisattvas, unlearned in the discipline of noble teaching, and who derive a sense of sufficiency from mere concentration, fall by virtue of their pride into an inflated sense of themselves. They will not escape from birth, aging, sickness, death, sorrow, lamentation, suffering, unhappiness, or perturbation. They will not escape from the six realms of cyclic existence. They will not escape from the aggregation of suffering. With that in mind, the Tathagata said, learning from others what is appropriate, you will escape aging and death. And how? Next topic is how to be certain about their order. Shantideva's engaging the Bodhisattva's deeds says, insight possessed of serenity destroys the afflictions. Knowing this, seek serenity at the outset. According to this statement, you first achieve meditative serenity and then cultivate insight on that basis. And Kamalashila's first stages of meditation says, its object of meditation is indeterminate, meaning that the object of meditation of meditative serenity is indeterminate. As explained above, the object of meditation of serenity may be either reality itself or the conventional phenomena possessed of reality. If you first understand the meaning of selflessness and then meditate while focusing on it, it should be enough to simultaneously produce both the serenity of an undistracted mind and insight focused on emptiness. Why then is it said that you first seek serenity and then cultivate insight? The way in which serenity precedes insight is as follows. You do not need to have serenity already in order to develop an understanding of the view that knows that there is no self, for we see that even those who lack serenity develop this view. Nor do you need to have serenity already in order to experience mental transformation in regard to the view, for nothing precludes mental transformation being brought on by the practice of repeated analysis with discerning wisdom, even in the absence of serenity. If you claim that the view that the absence of serenity precludes mental transformation in regard to the view, then the very same reasoning forces you to the extremely absurd conclusion that serenity is required even to experience mental transformation when meditating on impermanence, the faults of cyclic existence, or the spirit of enlightenment. So why is serenity required for insight? According to the sutra, unraveling the intended meaning, as long as the practice of discrimination and special discrimination with discerning wisdom cannot generate physical and mental pliancy, it constitutes a type of attention which approximates insight. When it generates pliancy, then it is insight. Thus, if you have not attained serenity, then no matter how much analytical meditation you do with discerning wisdom, in the end, you will not be able to generate the delight and bliss of physical and mental pliancy. Once you have attained meditative serenity, then even the analytical meditation of discerning wisdom will culminate in pliancy. Hence, insight requires meditative serenity as a course. This will be explained before. Discerning wisdom becomes insight when, without focusing on a single object, it can generate pliancy through the power of analysis. So, generating pliancy by setting your attention on a single object of meditation, even if the object is emptiness, is nothing more than a way to achieve serenity. Then that alone does not count as attaining insight. Why? If you thus first seek an understanding of selfness, analyzing its meaning again and again, it will be impossible to achieve serenity on the basis of this analysis, since you have not previously achieved serenity. If you do stabilizing meditation without analysis, you will achieve serenity on that basis. However, as there is no way to sustain insight except by sustaining serenity, you have to seek insight later. Hence, this does not fall outside the pattern in which, having previously sought serenity, you cultivate insight based on it. Accordingly, the way insight develops is that discerning analytical meditation generates pliancy. If this were not so, there would not be the slightest good reason to seek serenity first and then cultivate insight based on it. Failing to do these meditations in this order is quite inappropriate, because the sutra unraveling intended meaning states in a passage cited above that you cultivate insight on the basis of having attained serenity. Also, the order of meditative stabilization and wisdom, among the six perfections of which it is said that the latter develop based on the former, as well as the subsequence in which training in higher wisdom is based on training in higher concentration, and are in agreement with the sequence in which, having previously cultivated serenity, you later cultivate insight. Asanga's bodhisattva level, I cited earlier, and his Shravaka levels indicate that insight is cultivated on the basis of meditative serenity. Also, Bhava Viveka's heart of the middle way, Shantideva's engaging in the Bodhisattva deeds, Kamalashila's three stages of meditation, Janaka Kirti's Bodhisattva deeds, Janakirti, and our Radhnakara Shanti all state that you cultivate insight after previously seeking serenity. So this part is finished. Let's move to the middling lamrim, page 197, calming the mind and insight. Explanation of the two, of how to train in the last two perfections, in particular. How to train the last two perfections in particular has two points: transition, the actual explanation, the training. In the last two perfections, in particular, consists in methods for cultivating calm, abiding, and special insight, because those two are included in the perfections of concentration and wisdom, respectively. This has 6 points, the actual explanation. So in the benefit of cultivating calm abiding and special insight has 5 points. Demonstration that all the positive qualities of Mahayana and Hinayana results of calm abiding and special insight. In the sutra unraveling the intended meaning, it is set forth that all the mundane and supramundane and positive qualities of Mahayana and Hinayana are results of calm abiding and special insight. And setting out doubts about that. Aren't You may wonder, aren't calm, abiding, and special insight positive qualities of mind that are gained from meditation? How can all those positive qualities be admissible as results of those two? The response to it, actual calm, abiding, and special insight are indeed positive qualities of the mind gained from meditation, as explained below. Therefore, not all the positive qualities of the Mahayana and Hinayana results of the two. Nevertheless, all the meditative stabilization starting from a single-pointed mind placed on a virtuous object are included in the class of calm abiding, and all virtuous wisdom minds individually analyzing the meaning of the mode or varieties are included in the class of special insight. It is with that intended meaning that all the positive qualities of the three vehicles are said to be the result of calm abiding and special insight. Hence, there is no contradiction. And then how? Benefits of abandoning what should be abandoned are tied to a scriptural passage from the sutra unraveling the intended meaning. In this sutra, it is said, having familiarized themselves with calm, abiding, special insight, beings will gain complete liberation from the bondage of bad states and signs. This is what is meant. Bad states are latencies. That remain in the mind, capable of generating more and more mistaken consciousness, while signs revive those latencies for the adherence of to wrong objects arising time and again. Instructions on the Perfection of Wisdom explains that the former are abandoned through the special insight and the latter through calm abiding. Those are the benefits of what are designated as calm abiding and special insight. The benefits thereby pointed out should also be understood as the benefits of the other two. However, even if they are not designated as calm abiding and special insight, the meaning is the same. Statements on the benefits of concentration and wisdom should be understood as the benefits of these two. Demonstration that the two calm abiding special insight include all meditative stabilization. Zan is saying that he's not taking tea, but he's taking his medicine. Otherwise, the chant master may think that I'm taking tea before saying the grace. It's much more testier than tea. It's too tongue, Tibetan medicine for cold. In the Sutra Unraveling the Intended Meaning, it says that all the limited meditative civilizations proclaimed in the Mahayana and Hinayana are nevertheless subsumed under calm abiding and special insight. Therefore, since those who strive for meditative stabilization cannot investigate all its limitless manifestations, they should thoroughly investigate how to sustain the epitome of all the meditative stabilizations, calm abiding and special insight. The entities of calm abiding and special insight, the nature of the calm abiding, and explain the nature of special insight. The entity or nature of calm abiding is set forth in the sutra unraveling the intended meaning. Dwelling alone in solitude, he directs the mind in words and attends to those very phenomena just as he has thoroughly reflected on them. He attends to them with a mind directed inward continuously and attentively. This state he thus enters and abides in many times in which physical and mental pliancy arise are called calm abiding. The meaning of this statement is that if a mind, having attended to it and continuously without distraction, stays on the object by itself so that the joyful bliss of physical and mental pliancies arises, then meditative civilization becomes calm abiding. This will arise from merely keeping the mind inward undistracted. It does not depend on internalizing the suchness of things. And to explain the nature of special insight has 6 points, stating a source. The entity or nature of special insight is set forth in the same sutra. Having achieved physical pliancy and mental pliancy, he abides in them abandons the aspects of the mind and devotes himself to the individual investigation of the images within the object of meditative stabilization, the very phenomena he has likewise deflected on. Thus, with regard to the images that are of the object of meditative stabilization, any thorough differentiation of the meaning of those objects of knowledge, any exceedingly thorough differentiation, full investigation, full analysis, tolerance, acceptance, classification, viewing, and conceptualization is called special insight. In that way, the Bodhisattva is skilled in special insight. So here, thorough differentiation is differentiation of the varieties, and exceeding thorough differentiation is the differentiation of the mode, the way things are. Investigation is a coarse investigation, coarse examination, and the analysis and is a subtle examination things. How statements from other sutras and commentaries accord with the sutra unraveling the intended meaning. So there are two sutras, Clouds of Jewels sutras, and also the sutra of the said recited by Maitreya sutra. And also Venerable Master Maitreya says, restraint to the concepts of dharmas should also be known as the path of calm abiding, full analysis of their meanings as the path of special insight. Depending on correct abiding, what serves to place the mind on mind and to differentiate dharmas are calm abiding and special insight. Then, in bodhisattva levels, it is set forth just like that, and in the stages of meditation too, it also says that abidance within the mind itself, in which distraction towards external object has calmed down and the mind gets continuously and naturally involved in its internal object with joy and pliancy, is called calm abiding. That which thoroughly analyzes suchness at the time of abiding in that very state of calm abiding is special insight. Instruction of the perfection of wisdom explains in this in the same way. And then number four, therefore calm abiding insights are not distinguished by way of the observed objects. And how it is inappropriate to distinguish calm abiding and special insight based on whether or not the clarity factor of the consciousness is intense. And then the need to differentiate between the realization of emptiness and blissful, lucid non-conceptuality. Thus, it is necessary to identify whether or not the mind is meditative stabilization that observes emptiness or wisdom consciousness on the basis of whether or not that mind realizes either of the two selflessnesses, because there are countless non-conceptual meditative stabilization of bliss and clarity in which the mind is not directed at the suchness of an object, since direct perception establishes that the mind can be held like that in a non-conceptual state, even though the view realizing the mode of being has not been found. There is not even the slightest contradiction in the arising of non-conceptual meditative stabilization that do not understand emptiness. From that point of view, if the mind is held for a long time through the power of the mind being held, a workability of vital energies will arise, since it is natural for joyful bliss to arise in the body and the mind. When that has arisen, it is not contradictory for bliss to arise. Once that has arisen, through the power of one's vivid sensation of joyful bliss, the factor of clarity arises. Therefore, it cannot be posited that all blissful, clear, non-conceptual meditative stabilization realize suchness. Consequently, since bliss, clarity, and non-conceptuality arise in meditative stabilizations that realize emptiness, and since there are also many meditative stabilizations in which the mind is not directed at emptiness, yet bliss, clarity, and non-conceptuality still occur, it is necessary to distinguish between the two. The reason why both calm abiding insight need to be cultivated. To illustrate this, when you light a lamp, so the example of a lamp in at night to see a mural, being not being wavered or flickered by wind. So if the butter is not bright, or if even though bright it flickers in the mind, you will not see the forms clearly. Explaining the meaning, Likewise, with respect to viewing the profound meaning, if you have both wisdom and mistakenly ascertaining the meaning of suchness and the imperturbability of the mind that stays on its object at will, you will see suchness clearly. However, if you do not have the wisdom realizing the mode of being, despite your non-conceptual meditative stabilization in which your mind remains unscattered, you will not be able to realize the mode of being. So then realizing the scriptural passages. So when you have a great bliss experience of the highest yoga tantra and the dissolution process happens to you due to your meditation, at that point then that meditation is only focused, concentrated, one-pointed meditation, and not there is no analytical meditation there. So here the exception is being stated. When an accomplished harm abiding, not only does it counteract the fault of your wisdom, how doing something virtuous has great power once harm abiding has been accomplished. When you accomplish harm abiding, not only does it counteract the fault of your wisdom consciousness, wandering off while correctly investigating selflessness, the fault of distraction to other objects stops for all analytical meditations that you do with the wisdom of individual investigation on permanent impermanence actions and their effects, the enlightenment, the disadvantages of cycling existence, love, compassion, training in the mind of enlightenment, and so forth. Then since you get involved in each object, whatever it may be, without being distracted to something else, everything virtuous you do is very powerful. As long as you have not obtained the calm abiding due to predominant distraction to other objects, any virtuous practice you do will be weak. It is as it says in engaging in bodhisattva deeds. A person whose mind is being distracted is in the fangs of mental afflictions. The seer taught that recitation, ascetic practices, and so forth, even if engaged in long, are pointless without the distracted, with distracted mind. How the order of calm abiding, especially inside, is definite, has 3 points. The actual order, the explanation of how calm abiding is preconditioned for special insight, and setting out the responding to an object. Engaging in the bodhisattva deed says, having understood that special insight conjoined with calm abiding destroys the afflictions, first see calm abiding. Thus, you first accomplish calm abiding and then cultivate special insight based on it. Explanation of how calm abiding is a precondition for the insight. And then explanation of the how to train in calm abiding. And special insights individually. Now, on page 204, middling section, finished. How to train in each. Lamrim Chemo, page 28. This has three sections. How to train in meditative serenity, how to train in insight, and how to unite them. Regarding the first, it has three parts. Relying on the preconditions for meditative serenity, how to cultivate serenity on that basis, and the measures of successful cultivation of serenity. And regarding the first, at the outset, the yogi should rely on the preconditions for serenity, which make it impossible to achieve serenity quickly and comfortably. There are 6. Dwelling in an appropriate area, having a little desire, being content, completely giving up many activities, pure ethical discipline, and completely getting rid of thoughts of desire, etc. So regarding dwelling in an appropriate area, the area should have five attributes. Easy access, so that it should have easy access, so that necessities such as food and clothing may be readily obtained, and being a good place to live where there are no wild beasts such as predators, no enemies, etc. And number three, being on a good piece of ground in that it does not breed sickness. And the D, offering, number four. So, in other words, here, you in the beginning, you should start with the very short sessions, but more number of sessions, and try to develop single-pointed concentration. Of course, you should not just do meditation, long meditations on at a stretch, but make post-meditation session, have take break in between. In the beginning, you may start with 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then as your meditation develops, it goes better, then you can extend it, prolong it to half an hour and so. So the meditation should be of good quality. And in this way, you make yourself to have little to do, things to do. And then the number four is offering good food, good companion insofar as your companions are ethically disciplined and like-minded, and being well situated in as much as there are not many people about in the day and little noise at night. So these are given in Maitreya's ornament for Mahayana Sutra, as cited here. Having a little desire, you do not strongly crave four or better robes. Crave more or better robes, etc. Being content is you are always content to have even the poorest robes. And completely giving up many activities, you give up base activities such as buying and selling. You also abandon excessive socializing with household initiates as well as pursuits such as medicine, astrology. And so when you're developing calm abiding, you're using your mind. You're trying to develop it within your mind. And so the mind, if it is distracted towards attractive or unattractive things, which give rise to attachment or aversion and so forth, so all these different kinds of preconceptions, discursive thoughts have to be actually withdrawn, and you have to draw your mind inside. So completely getting rid of thoughts and desires is about that. So everything in cycling existence, pleasant or unpleasant, is ephemeral and impermanent. Since it is certain that I will shortly be separated from all these things, why should I crave them? I have explained these points according to the purport of Kamala Shila's second stage of meditation. You should learn more about them from Asanga's Shravaka levels. These six topics cover this key causes and conditions for newly developing good concentrations. For maintaining existing concentration without deterioration. And so His Holiness is actually reading some verses from Shravaka levels. So as a summary, the Shravaka levels say those verses. So these topics cover the key causes and conditions for newly developing good concentration, for maintaining an existing concentration without deterioration, and for heightening your concentration. In particular, the most important ones are good ethical discipline, seeing desires as disadvantages, and dwelling in an appropriate area. Geshe Domtenpa says, we think that the fault lies only in our personal instructions. As we then seek only personal instructions, we are unable to attain concentration. This is the result of not abiding under its conditions. The term's conditions refers to the six explained above. Moreover, the first four perfections serve as preconditions for the fifth, meditative stabilization. Kamala Shila's first stages of meditation states, you quickly accomplish serenity when you disregard the desire for possession and such. Keep good ethical discipline, have a disposition to readily tolerate suffering and joyously persevere. That being the case, sources such as Sutra unraveling the intended meaning teach that generosity and other perfections and causes of successively higher perfections. Atisha Salam for the path to enlightenment states. So his Honest wants to move to Atisha's lamp for the path to enlightenment. Because on the call is. So in the book. In Tibetan, it's on page 3. So verse number 32, when those observing the vow of the active intention have trained well in the three forms of discipline, their respect for these three forms of discipline grows, which causes purity of body, speech, and mind. Therefore, through effort in the vow made by bodhisattvas for pure, full enlightenment, the collections for complete enlightenment will be thoroughly accomplished. All Buddhas say that the cause for the completion of the collections, whose nature is merit and exalted wisdom, is the development of higher perceptions. Just as a bird with undeveloped wings cannot fly in the sky, those without the power of higher perception cannot work for the good of living beings. The merit gained in a single day by one who possesses higher perception cannot be gained even in 100 lifetimes by one without such higher perception. Those who want swiftly to complete the collections for full enlightenment will accomplish higher perception through effort, not through laziness. Without the attainment of calm abiding, higher perception will not occur. Therefore, make repeated effort to accomplish calm abiding. And the next verse number 39 also, and 40. So, Lamrin Chemo, continue on page 100. When you lack element of serenity, even if you meditate assiduously, you will not achieve concentration, even in thousands of years. Therefore, it is very important for those who sincerely wish to achieve the concentrations of serenity and insight to work on the elements or preconditions for serenity, such as the 13, which are set forth in Asanga Shravaka levels. How to cultivate serenity on that basis has two parts. Preparation and actual. So with regards to the mundane states of meditative concentration and insight, it is common to even the non-Buddhist traditions. So when your practice is coupled with or influenced by the principle of taking refuge in the three jewels, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, then it becomes a Buddhist meditation. Whereas if it is done by taking refuge in other deities, worldly deities like the non-Buddhist traditions, then it becomes non-Buddhist practice. And then to make a practice Mayana practice, you should have bodhicitta within yourself. And so you should make every effort to cultivate bodhicitta in order to make your practice a Mahayana one. A preparation practice, the six preparatory teachings explained above, and especially cultivate the spirit of enlightenment for a long time. Also in support of that, you should do the meditative practices that are shared with persons of small and medium capacities. So when you actually do sit in meditation, your seat should be higher at the rear so that your body will be rather straight. And when the body is straight, the channels will be also straight. So because of that, the flow of wind energy will be better. And especially those of Dzogrim practitioners, the completion stage practitioners, then it is very important to actually sit in the seven Vairochana posture. So meditative posture, Kamala Shila, second and third meditative stages of meditation say that you should take up an 8-point postures on the very soft and comfortable seat. Cross your legs in the manner of the Venerable Vairochana, using either the full lotus posture or the half lotus. So, or half lotus posture as appropriate. So you can also use the Vajra posture. So if you are not able to sit in these postures with the Vajra posture, full Vajra posture or half lotus posture, then you may sit on a chair like the manner in which Maitreya is depicted. And your eyes should be neither wide open nor too far closed, and they should be fixed on the tip of your nose. But you should not force yourself to gaze on the tip of your nose, but rather gaze your you should have a very natural gaze down on your nose, not very forcibly doing it. Sit with your awareness directed inward, keeping your body straight without leaning too far, nor being bent far too far forward. Keep your shoulders straight and even. So as this text says, these postures are mentioned. Do not raise or lower your head, nor turn it to one side. Set it so that your nose and navel are aligned. So your body should be straightened, and then if you were to hang and something from the tip of your nose down, it should reach the navel. Like the masons use some instruments and set your teeth and lips in their usual natural position. Draw your tongue up close to your upper teeth. And this has the significance of not dripping saliva when you sit in meditation for long. And also it helps the mouth not to dry up while you sit in meditation for long. And your inhalation and exhalation should not be too noisy, forced or uneven. So you should not breathe noisily or violently and uneven. Sometimes you're taking long breaths and other times short. It should not be like that. And let it flow effortlessly, ever so gently, without any sense that you are moving it or here or there. Asanga's Shravaka levels gives five reasons for sitting as the Buddha taught, cross-legged on a seat, stool, and or grass mat. This posture in which the body is pulled together well is conducive to the arising of pliancy, so you will develop pliancy very quickly. Sitting in this way makes it possible to maintain the posture for a long time. The posture does not lead to physical exhaustion. This posture is not common to non-Buddhists and our opponents. When others see you sitting in this posture, they are inspired. The Buddha and his disciples used this posture and bestowed it upon us. Asanga's Shravaka level says that in light of these reasons, you should sit cross-legged. It also says that you keep your body straight so that the lethargy and sleepiness will not occur. Thus, at the outset, you have to meet these 8 points of physical contact, particularly the calming of breathing, just as I have described. Sometimes, when you do when you do completion stage practice, then you have to imagine the channels in which the wind energies flow. But then, in at other times, you can do the 9 rounds of breathing to calm the mind, settle the mind down when you are full of emotion, and so that you focus on the in and out breath, and it will help to subside these emotions emotions to subside. The meditative process, broadly speaking, the stages of path tradition indicates that you achieve serenity by means of 8 antidotes, which eliminate the 5 faults listed in Maitreya: separation of the middle from the extremes. Personal instructions passed down from Geshe Laksorwa explains that in addition to that, you have to achieve serenity through the 6 powers, the 4 types of attention, and the 9 mental states, which the Sangha's Shravaka levels explains. The scholar Yundin Thak says the method of 9 mental states are included in the 4 attentions and 6 faults and the 8 applications, which are the antidotes. Which are the antidotes are the methods for achieving all concentrations. Those who first have the preconditions or concentration will definitely attain concentration if they use these methods to work at it. Nowadays, supposedly, so Tsongkhapa says this is stated in his text on the stages of the paths. So Shravaka's scholar Yundin talks Lamrim. He's mentioning that. It speaks of reaching pure certainty about how the classic texts present the way to achieve concentration. So Geshe Yundin Thak's text goes on to say, those who first have the precondition for concentration will definitely attain concentration if they use these methods to work at. Nowadays, supposedly profound oral traditions on meditative stabilization lack even the names of these techniques. These texts do not indicate that you will achieve concentration without the preconditions for concentration and these techniques, even if you work at it for a long time.
Page number 33. Sorry, 32. Asanga's compendium of determination says that his Sarvaka level should be used to understand serenity and insight. So it is a Sarvaka level that is more extensive. Also, the Venerable Maitreya discusses the method of 9 mental states and the 8 antidotes to his ornament for Mayana Sutras and separation of the middle from extremes following the message learned. Indian masters as Haribhadra, Kamaleshila, and Radna Karasandhi wrote about the process of achieving concentration. On the general sense of concentration, the Tantras are very consistent with explanations in this classic text, except that they use different objects of meditation, such as divine bodies, drops, and syllables. In the particular text, in the sutra class, Prophet where extensive discussions of problems such as the five faults of concentration and ways of clearing them away. However, those who know how to practice on the basis of those classic texts alone are as rare as stars in the daytime. Those who impose on those texts the stains of their defective understanding derive only a superficial comprehension and maintain that the instructions that reveal the quintessential meaning lie elsewhere. When the time comes for them to put into practice the process of achieving concentration which these texts explain, they do not even research how to do it. This explanation of the meditative process is two sections, how to develop the flawless concentration. These are 3 points, what to do prior to focusing the attention on an object of meditation. If you cannot stop the laziness of being disinclined to cultivate concentration and of enjoying things that are not conducive to it, from the outset you will not gain entry into concentration. Even if you do attain it once, you will be unable to sustain it, so it will quickly deteriorate it. Therefore, it is most crucial to stop laziness in the beginning. When you attain pliancy in which your mind and body are full of delight and bliss, you will stop laziness in as much as you are full of delight and bliss. Laziness as you will be able to cultivate virtue all day and night without weariness. To develop this pliancy, you must be able to have continuous enthusiasm for the concentration that causes pliancy. To develop this enthusiasm, you need a continuous intense yearning that is intent on concentration. As a cause for this yearning, you need steadfast confidence in and fascination with the good qualities of concentration. So to start with, cultivate again and again a confidence that is aware of the good qualities of concentration. When you see this process in practice, you will understand this most vital point with a clearer sense of certainty. Material separation of the middle from the extreme stage, the basis and what is based upon it are the cause and its result. Here the basis is yearning, which is the basis of endeavor. What is based upon it is the endeavor or the enthusiasm. The cause of yearning is confident faith in the good qualities of concentration. The result of endeavor is pliancy. In this context, the good qualities of concentration are as follows. When you reach serenity, your mind is filled with delight and your body filled with bliss, so you are happy in this lifetime. Also, since you have attained physical and mental pliancy, you can turn your attention to any virtuous object of meditation you choose. Since you have cool, uncontrolled distraction toward the wrong sort of objects, you are not constantly involved in wrongdoing, and any virtue you do is very powerful. Based on serenity, you can achieve good qualities such as the super knowledges and supernormal powers. In particular, it is on the basis of serenity that you develop the knowledge of insight that knows the real nature, whereby you can quickly cut the root of cyclic existence. If you reflect on any of these good qualities, you will become aware of and meditate upon things that strengthen your inclination to cultivate concentration. When this inclination arises, you will be continually prompted from within to cultivate concentration, so it will be easier to attain concentration. Also, since you will cultivate it repeatedly, even after attaining, you will be unlikely to lose it. What to do while focusing on an object of meditation? This is 2 points, identifying the object of meditation upon which your attention is set. This is 2 points, a general presentation of objects of meditation. This is 3 sections, the object of meditation themselves, who should meditate on what objects, synonyms of the object of meditation. The Bhagavan stated that yogis have 4 types of objects of meditation. These 4 universal objects of meditation: objects of meditation on purifying your behavior, objects of meditation on expertise, and objects of meditation for purifying afflictions. The first one, universal objects of meditation are of 4 types: discursive images, non-discursive images, the limits of existence, and achievement of your purpose. The 2 types of images are posited in terms of observer. The first is the object of insight, and second is the object of meditative serenity. The image is not the actual specifically characteristic object upon which your mind is focused, but rather the appearance of that object's aspect to your mind. When you carry out analysis while observing an object, then the image is discursive, since analytical thinking is present. When you stabilize your mind without analysis while observing an object, the image is said to be non-discursive, since analytical thinking is absent. As for these images, what objects of meditation they images of? They are the images or aspects of the 5 objects of meditation for purifying behavior, the 5 objects of meditation for expertise, and 2 objects of meditation for purifying afflictions. The limits of existence are posited with reference to the observed object. There are two, the limit of existence for the diversity of phenomena, which are expressed in statement, just as this is all there is nothing more, and the limits of existence for the real nature expressed in the statement. This alone is how things exist. They do not exist in any other way. In the case of diversity of phenomena, this means that five aggregates include all composite phenomena. The 18 constituents and 12 sources include all phenomena, and the four truths include everything there is to know. There is nothing else beyond this. In the case of the nature, this means that reason establishes the truth or reality of those objects of meditation. Page number 36, objects of meditation for purifying your behavior. Objects of meditation for purifying your behavior are objects that purify behavior in which attachment or the like is predominant. There are five objects of meditation. Respectively, they are ugliness, love, and Tibetan arising. Depression of constituents and inhalation and exhalations. Love involves focusing on friends, enemies, and persons towards whom you have neutral feelings and having an attitude. Regarding the object of meditation or Tibetan arising, all there is in the past, the present, and the future is Tibetan arising, in which effects that are mere phenomenal factors simply arise based on many mere phenomenal factors. Apart from this, there is no performer of actions or experiencer of their effects. You focus your attention to this fact and hold it there. As for the object of meditation on the differentiation of constituents, you differentiate the factors of six constituents, earth, water, fire, air, space, and consciousness. You focus your attention to them and hold it there. Regarding the object of meditation on inhalation and exhalations, you focus your attention without distraction by counting and watching the breath move in and out, and counting from your mouth, and all, even if you count by your mouth or using your fingers, but if your mind is distracted somewhere else, then it's of not much use. And of course, when you meditate about inhalation and exhalation, so that your mind's focus should be complete on your breath, and it should never be distracted. When we meditate about inhalation and exhalation, it is also explained in Abhidharma Kosha, Manifest Treasury of Abhidharma. And of course, it is also existing in Theravada traditions in Thailand and elsewhere. And it is widely practiced there. This is also important. When you meditate or concentrate on a mind, the focal object is quite settled. But when you focus or meditate on a phenomenon which is non-mental, or something like a form, or like a breathing, which is something which is within you, so at that time, the focusing mind has something to hold on to. And even when you count for 20-something, 50-something, or 200-something, objects of meditation for expertise. Meditation for expertise means it's not an object that expert persons have to pursue, but it means that in order to gain expertise, so you have to meditate on these objects. There are also five objects of meditation for expertise, namely expertise in the aggregates, the constituents, the sources, Tibetan arising. And here the Tibetan arising means the Tibetan arising on cause and effect. What is and is not possible. The aggregates are the five aggregates of form and others. Expertise in this is knowing that apart from this aggregates, the self and what pertains to the self do not exist. The constituents are I and the others of 18 constituents. Expertise in them is knowing the causal conditions by which those constituents arise. from their own seas. The sources are the eye and others of the 12 sources. Expertise in this is knowing that six internal sources are the dominant conditions for six consciousness, that the six external sources are the object conditions, and that the mind which has just ceased is the immediately preceding condition. Dependent arising is the 12 factors. Expertise in them is knowing that they are impermanent, suffering, and devoid of self. What is not possible refers to such things as being possible for a pleasant fruition to arise from a virtuous action, but not possible for a pleasant fruition to arise from a non-virtuous actions. When we experience different pleasant and unpleasant feelings, so the causes of those emotions or the pleasant and unpleasant feelings are also different. When you use this as an object of meditation for cultivating serenity, you keep your attention on just one of the perspectives in which the accurate extra may be known. When you meditate on the aggregates, and you have to look at the aggregates as also a heap of the different forms combined together. Object of meditation for purifying afflictions. Purifying afflictions means either merely reducing the strength of the seeds of the afflictions or else utterly irritating the seeds. In the former case, the objects of meditation are the comparative coarseness of each lower stage and comparative calmness of each higher stage, proceeding from the level of Dhyanaram up to the level of nothingness. In the latter case, the objects of meditation are impermanence and the other of the 16 aspects of our Four Noble Truths. When you use these objects of meditation for cultivating serenity, you do not analyze, but instead keep your attention on any one cognition of an aspect of those objects appears to us. And whatever teachings you give, including the teachings on impermanent and sufferings, but all this, if you combine or if you find the essence, it all combines to the teachings of Tibetan originates. As it is stated in the praise to the Tibetan originations, that there is no teachings that you haven't gained which is not based on the Tibetan arisen. And even the rough or the gross levels of no selfness, all those teachings also finally are based on the ultimate devoid of intrinsically existence, the emptiness. Kamala Shila's second stages of meditation stresses the objects of meditation are three. After you have brought together everything that all 12 branches of scripture say about determining, settling into and having settled into reality, you stabilize your mind about it. You observe the aggregates, etc., which include phenomena to some extent. You stabilize your mind on physical form of the Buddha, which you have seen and heard about. How do you stabilize your mind on things such as aggregates? When you understand how all compositional things can be included within the five aggregates, you mentally collect them gradually into five aggregates. Then you observe them and keep your attention on them, just as concerning wisdom and develops when you cultivate differentiation. So when you cultivate collectiveness, you develop concentration wherein your attention is brought together on the object of meditation without moving towards other objects. This is the personal instruction of the knowledge tradition. Likewise, when you understand how all phenomena can be included within the constituent and sources, and if your mental stream or if your mind is very not so intelligent or very low in intelligence, then gradually and slowly one has to focus on one pointed object for a long time. But then again, when you gain some expertise on that kind of object, then again, slowly you can change the object. So first, you must concentrate on such a small or easy to appear things. And then, of course, gradually after that, you can change it. There is not much importance or purpose if you keep on focusing on one object for a very long time. So this may be a skillful ways or means for the beginners. And again, the meaning of emptiness, even the Tibetan word tongpanyi or the emptiness itself, has there are many areas where it can be explained. And Lama Tsongkhapa has also stated in the three principal buds that one must strive to understand the Tibetan arising, and also to the praise of Tibetan arising, that one who has seen the Tibetan arising and has preached and imparted the teaching to all the sentient beings, I prostrate to the one, and also the one who has seen the causes of all the sufferings as the ignorance. And in order to eradicate, you have given the teaching. So therefore, there is a big reason, there is a great importance attached to it when Lama Tsongkhapa emphasized on saying that one needs to strive to understand the Tibetan origination rather than saying one needs to strive to understand the no-selfness. And in Christians and other traditions, and there is no importance attached to considering the self or the soul is important because it is created by God. And there's also a way to see that. So therefore, when it is said that one must strive to understand the Tibetan arising, and when we speak about the Tibetan origination, it shows that biological reasoning also, it shows that Lama Tsongkhapa is someone who really understands the meaning of the emptiness. And it is important that sometimes the term emptiness or the ultimate, even though it comes many a times, but it has its own different areas where we have to mend it. There are those who suppose that if you focus on an object of meditation and keep your attention on it, this is an apprehension of science. If you believe that there is nothing existing, as many of us usually say that, when Buddhism speaks about a lot of compassion and love, but in reality, if you find that there is nothing existing, so we are nihilism of falling on one side. And this shows that they do not understand the reality meaning of what emptiness is. And without having the pure or the real understanding of pure emptiness, so they are falling on one extreme themselves. And all the phenomena, it's reality nature, which is by itself, without the intrinsic nature of existing, is the reality of the things. If you have no consciousness at that time, then neither will you have a concentration that cultivates emptiness. On the other hand, if you have consciousness, then you are conscious of something. So you have to accept that there is an object of consciousness in terms of which consciousness is posited. If we have to differentiate between the subtlety of the consciousness, then we have to think about how far we can differentiate between the subtlety of the consciousness. And when we speak about cognized, it speaks about the object from which appears the thing, and we perceive it as it is. If there is an object of consciousness, then precisely that is the object of meditation of that mind, because object of meditation and object of consciousness have the same meaning. In that case, they will have to accept that even their method of concentration will apprehend science. Thus, their approach is not correct. Furthermore, whether something constitutes meditation on emptiness is determined by whether it is meditation founded upon the view that knows the way things are. It is not determined by whether there is any conceptualization vis-a-vis the object. This will be demonstrated at length below. Even those who claim to stabilize their minds without an object of meditation must think that when one practices the Kama Abiding Meditation, and the Kama Abiding Meditation focuses on the mental continuum or just the mind, that the mind has to focus on the mind itself, and it should not be devoid or distracted to any other forms. After they focus like that on the mind itself as an object of meditation, they must be certain to fix on that object without straying in any way. Thus, their own experience contradicts their claim that they have no object of meditations. In this way, the classic text on achieving concentration explained that there are many objects of meditation. The purposes of this meditative basis for stabilizing your mind are as explained above. So you should gain expertise in them. Kamala Shila Stages of Meditation explained that the object of meditation of serenity is indeterminate. And Adishas Lam for the Path to Enlightenment says, whatever object or objects of meditation that are appropriate, these treatments means that you are not required to stick with one particular object of meditation. They do not show how to define the range of these existing objects of meditation. Here the term, the cause, which is not existing by itself, it can be mean all the dependent origination based on the cause and effect or dependent origination in relation to the self and the parts. Who should meditate on which objects? As there are various kinds of people, from those with a preponderance of attachment to those with a preponderance of discursiveness, Asanga Sarvaka level cites an answer to a question of Ravata. If attachment uniquely dominates the behavior of a monk yogi, a practitioner of yogi, then he focuses his mind on the object of meditation of ugliness. If hatred dominates his behavior, he meditates on love. If ignorance dominates his behavior, then he meditates on the dependent arising of this condition. If pride dominates his behavior, he focuses on his mind on differentiation of the constituents. And if discursiveness uniquely dominates behavior, then he focuses his mind on awareness of exhalation and inhalation of the breath. In this way, he focuses his mind on an appropriate object of meditation. Asanga Sarvaka levels also state, in this regard, persons whose behavior is dominated by attachment, hatred, ignorance, pride, or discursiveness should for a while at the outset just purify those behaviors by contemplating objects of meditation for purifying behavior. After this, they will see the stability of their minds and they will ascertain only their objects of meditation. So they should definitely persevere at using the objects of meditation. Being dominated by desire or another of those five afflictions means that in a previous life you were fully involved in that affliction, became accustomed to it, and expressed it frequently, so that now even if there is a minor object of desire or another of the five, that affliction arises in a strong and long-lasting form. Balanced behavior means that you were not fully involved in desire and the others in your previous life. You do not become accustomed to them and you do not express them frequently. Still, you have not recognized that they are false and you have not suppressed them. So while desire and such are not predominant or of great duration, it is not as though they do not occur. Having slight affliction means that you were not fully involved and so on in desire or another of those five in your previous lives, and you do see their disadvantages, etc. Therefore, with respect to objects of desire and such that are major, many or instance, your desire and such arises slowly, while for moderate or moderate objects, these afflictions do not arise at all. Also, when desire or another of those five afflictions is predominant, you take a long time to realize. When desire or another of those five afflictions is predominant, you take a long time to realize stability. With balanced behavior, you do not take an excessively long time. With minor afflictions, you do so very quickly. An answer to a question of Ravata also explains who works on objects of meditation for expertise. Ravata, if a monk yogi, a practitioner of yoga, is confused about the characteristics, nature of all composite things, or confused about the thing called person, self, living being, life, that which is reborn or nourisher, he should focus his mind on the objects of meditation for expertise in the aggregates. If he is confused about causes, he should focus on the objects of meditation for expertise in the constituents. If he is confused about condition, he should focus on the objects of meditation for expertise in the sources. If he is confused about impermanence, suffering, and selflessness, he should focus on objects of meditation for expertise in dependent arising and on what is and is not possible. As this stress, you mainly use these five objects of meditation to stop confusion. Which person should focus their mind on objects of meditation for dispelling afflictions, also stated in the same sutra. If you wish to be free from attachment of the desire realm, focus your mind on coarseness of the desire realm and the calmness of the form realm. If you wish to be free from the attachment of the form realm, focus your mind on the coarseness of the form realm and the calmness of the formless realm. If you wish to become disenchanted with all of the perishing aggregates and wish to be free from them, then focus your mind on the truth of suffering, the truth of origins, the truth of cessation, and the truth of the path. You can use these objects of meditation both for analytical meditation with insight and for stabilizing meditation with serenity, so they are not exclusively objects of meditation for serenity. So for someone like us who are practicing the tantric, and in order to practice calm abiding meditation, so the calm abiding meditation which aims at vast contact and also the emptiness, and all this has to be based and fundamental, and based on all this fundamental and basis, and gradually generating the generation stages, and also at the completion stages, one need to focus and contemplate more on the emptiness and the calm abiding meditation both. Even though the calm abiding meditation has the focal object may be variety and many in number, but one needs to keep on. So one needs to, even though the focal object of that calm abiding meditation may be many, but we need to focus on all the focal objects in between. And as this is also stated in Lama Tsongkhapa's in the text, so it's very important that we have to put it into practice. Page number 41, the last paragraph, synonyms of the object of meditation. There are synonyms for the images or mental appearances of these objects of meditation explained above. These points upon which the attention is kept or meditative basis for concentration as stated in Asanga Sarvaka levels. Also, that image is called image. It also is called sign of concentration, object in the domain of concentration, technique of concentration, due to concentration, basis of attention, body of internal conceptualization, and inner image. And also we can gain the calm abiding meditation, which focuses on mind. And we normally says we have to practice the emptiness on mind. And of course, before meditating on the emptiness of mind, first we have to understand the emptiness which is based on the mind itself. So the mind itself has to be understood first. And the nature of the mind itself, depending on the three times, how it comes from the previous, and how its mental continuum of the stream goes from the present to the future, and also in the terms of categories, the sensorial and the conceptualized, and the nature of the mind itself, which is luminous, and the nature of luminous mind. So that only that part of the mind which is luminous, so on that focal on only that luminous mind as a focal object. So meditating on that luminous focal object of mind, one needs to gain the calm abiding meditation. So after meditating on, after gaining expertise meditating on that luminous mind, one needs to train higher and higher, changing the focal object from the luminous mind to the mind stream. And there are also ways, having understanding the view of the emptiness first, and then able to generate or develop the calm abiding meditation at a later. But there are also ways to first generate the calm abiding meditation first, and then understand the reality or generating the perceiving of emptiness at later. If you are a person of balanced behavior or the person with slight afflictions, then as explained before, make your meditative base whichever of the objects of meditation explained above most appeals to you. Alternately, Kamaleshila's middle and last stages of meditation follow the sutra on the concentration which perceives the Buddha of the person face to face. And the king of concentration sutra in stating that you achieve concentration by focusing on the body of Tathagata. Also, the master body Bhatra explains a multitude. Here, serenity is twofold, that attained by looking inward and that an object of meditation view outwardly. Of those looking inward is twofold, focusing on the body and focusing on what is based on the body. Of those focusing on the body is threefold, focusing on the body itself in the aspect of deity, focusing on ugliness such as skeletons, and focusing on special insignia such as Kadvanga. Focusing on what is based on the body is fivefold. Focusing on the breath, focusing on subtle divine insignia, focusing on drops, focusing on the aspects of light rays, and focusing on delight and bliss. Serenity based on an object of meditation view outwardly is twofold, special and common. Of those, the special is twofold, focusing on the deity's body and focusing on the deity's speech. Adesha's commentary on his own lamp for the path to enlightenment also cites this passage. In this regard, to keep your attention on the physical form of the Buddha is to recall the Buddha. So it gives rise to limitless merit. When your image of that body is clear and firm, then there is a special intensification of your meditative focus on the field in relation to what amass mass merit through prostration, offering, aspirational prayer, etc., as well as on the field in relation to which you purify obscurations through confession, restraint, etc. This kind of meditation serves many purposes, as stated early in the extract from the King of Concentration Sutra. It has advantages such as you are not losing your mindfulness of the Buddha as you die. And when you cultivate the mantra path, it heightens deity yoga, etc. The sutra on the concentration which perceives the Buddha of the present face to face gives a very clear and detailed treatment of these benefits, as well as the method for directing your mind toward Buddha. Therefore, you should definitely come to know them from there. As Kamaleshila states in his last stages of meditation, fearing reversity, I do not write of them here. Consequently, it is skill in means when you seek an object of meditation by which you achieve concentration and also fulfill along the way some other special purpose. How do you use something like the bodily form of Tathagata as an object of meditation? Kamaleshila's last stages of meditation states, in that regard, practitioners should first fix their attention on whatever they may have seen and whatever they may have heard about the bodily form of Tathagata, and then achieve serenity. The bodily form of the Tathagata is a golden color like that of refined gold adorned by signs and exemplary features, dwells with its retinue and affects the aim of living beings through various means. By continuously directing their mind toward the yogis develop a wish for its good qualities and quality, laxity, excitement, and so forth. They should continue meditative stabilization for as long as they can see it clearly, as though the Buddha was sitting in front of them. Page number 45. Aryasura also clearly states this. Solidify your mind's reflection by being firm on one object of meditation. Letting it flow to many objects leads to mind distraught from afflictions. He says this in the section on achieving meditative stabilization. Also, Adisha's lamp for the path to enlightenment states, settle your mind in virtue on any single object of meditation. He makes this point with the phrase on any single, thus having first focused on one object of meditation and attained serenity. You may then focus on many objects of meditation. Kamaleshila's first stage of meditation states, only when you have earned concentrated attention should you focus in detail on the particulars of objects, such as the aggregates and constituents. It is in light of the particulars of yogis' meditation on objects, such as 18 emptinesses, that the Buddha states in sutras, such as the sutta unraveling the intended meaning, that there are many aspects of objects of meditation. Accordingly, the measure for having first round the object of meditation upon which you keep your attention is as follows. Visualize several times in sequence the head, two arms, rest of the trunk of the body, and two legs. After that, if when you bring your attention to body as a whole, you can raise before your mind just half of the gross components, and even without written clarity, you should be satisfied with just this and fix your attention upon it. Why, if dissatisfied with justice, you fail to fix your attention on it and want more clarity instead. Then as you visualize it again and again, the object of meditation will become a bit clearer, but you will not obtain a stable concentration. In fact, you will prevent yourself from getting this, even though the object of meditation is not very clear. If you keep your attention on precisely this partial object of meditation, you will quickly obtain concentration. Since this then intensifies clarity, you will readily achieve clarity. This comes from the instructions of Ishida. It is of great importance. As it is utterly inappropriate to pursue such distortions, one you must use only the original object of meditation, whatever it may be, as your object of meditation. Back to middle and lumbar. Page number 204. How to train and calm my biting and special insight individually. Explanation of how to train and calm my biting, the entity of concentration. How to train and calm my biting has 3 points. Attending to the prerequisite of calm my biting, these are 6 points. As regards staying in a favorable place, the 5 positive qualities of place are easy access to food, clothing, and so forth, in that they can be obtained without trouble. A good location in the predators and the wild beasts as well as animals and the like do not live there. Good ground in that it does not produce diseases. Good company in that one is companions of equal ethics and views. And being well endowed in that during the day there are few people around and at night there is still noise. In ornament for Mayana Sutra, it says, a place for intelligent people's attainments has good access, a good location, good ground, as well as good companions and conveniences for yoga. Few desires is not to be excessively attached to good or numerous robes and so forth. Contentment is to always be content with merely adequate robes and the like. To completely abandon many activities, pure ethics, to completely abandon discursive thoughts of desire, in line for the path to enlightenment, it says, even if you exert yourself greatly, even for 1,000 years, if calm abiding limbs are impaired, stabilization will not be accomplished. For those with a heartfelt wish to accomplish the meditative stabilization of calm abiding and in special insight, it is therefore essential to put effort into the 13 prerequisites and like set forth in Sarvaka levels, how to cultivate calm abiding in dependence on the prerequisites. These are 2 points. The preparation, the actual practice. You should long cultivate the 6 preparatory practice explained earlier as well as the mind of enlightenment. And as part of that, also train in the core meditation topics shared with lesser and intermediate beings. The actual practice. What body posture to meditate in? As it says in stages of meditation, you should sit on a very soft and comfortable seat and adopt a body posture with 18 characteristics. The legs may be fully crossed or half-crossed, so you should do that. The eyes are directed over the tip of the nose, neither too open nor too closed. You should see that your body strengthened off and erect, rather than too bent or crooked. And with your mindfulness placed inward, your shoulders should be straight and even. The head is held not too high, not too low, and without tilting to one side. You should keep yourself erect from the nose down to the navel. The teeth and lips should remain natural just as they are. The tongue should be placed near the upper teeth. As for the breath, your exhalation and inhalation should not be audible, forceful, or uncontrolled. Rather, the coming and going should by all means proceed imperceptibly, leisurely, and effortlessly. That is the way to do it. Thus, you should first accomplish the body posture with the aid and especially gentle breathing as explained. Explanation of the stages of meditation themselves. This is 2 points. Transition to actual explanation. Transition and actual explanation. How to generate flawless meditative stabilization. This is 3 points. And what to do before focusing the mind on the object. The need to rely on antidotes to laziness at the outset. Individual explanation of the 4 antidotes. The scriptural sources for this. How to reflect on the positive qualities of meditative stabilization. What to do while focusing the mind on the object. This is 2 points on page number 207. What to do while focusing the mind on object has 2 points, identifying the basis which the mind is placed on the object. General presentation of the objects has 2 points, indication of the actual objects, indication of what person should make what his object. Indication of the actual object has 2 points. As regards the 4 objects of 4 yogis taught by Bhagavan, the pervasive objects are 4 in number. The ones on which you place the mind without analyzing, and objects of analysis, which makes 2. The limits of phenomena, the mode and varieties, and the accomplishment of a purpose, achieving transformation through meditation by means of the previous 2 meditation methods that observe the meaning of the mode and the varieties. As regards objects for purifying one's conduct, there are 5 meditation objects that serve as antidote to one's predominant conduct in previous lives: attachment, hatred, delusion, pride, and discursive thought. Respectively, the repulsive love, interdependence, divisions of the elements, as well as one's respiration. The objects for the skillful are also 5 in number. Objects of skill with regard to aggregates, elements, sense fields, the dwellings of independence, as well as established and unestablished. The objects for purifying mental afflictions are 2, the peaceful and cruel states of the higher and lower levels, and the 16 aspects of the 4 truths, impermanence, and so forth. Indication of what person should make what his object. This is 2 points. How what person should make what his meditation object. In accordance with what is set forth in the sutra requested by Rebada, it is told that persons ranging from those in whom attachment predominates to those in whom discursive thought predominates should rely on the individual object specified, ranging from the repulsor to one's respiration, respectively. Those with balanced contact and those with slight mental afflictions may concentrate on any one object they are happy with. They do not need a certain one. In this regard, predominance of one of the 5 mental afflictions, attachment and so forth, means that through habituation to attachment and so forth in previous lives, long-term attachment and so forth arise for long-term to small objects of attachment and so forth. Those with balanced contact have not got habituated to attachment and so forth in previous lives, but they do not see them as disadvantages. Therefore, even though predominant long-term attachment and so forth do not arise toward the respective object, it is not that they do not occur at all. Those with slight mental afflictions have not got habituated to attachment and so forth in previous lives, and due to the fact that, among other things, they see them as disadvantages, attachment and so forth only arise slowly toward many major objects of attachment and so forth. Toward medium and small objects, they do not arise. Moreover, those with predominant attachment or another one of the 5 take long to accomplish quintessence. Those with balanced behavior, not that long, and those with slight mental afflictions accomplish it quickly. Identification of objects for given situations. This is 8 points. General explanation. Numerous texts set for how to accomplish meditative stabilization, observing the Tathagata's body, how it has a great purpose to make it the basis of one's observation accordingly. How to make what bodily from one's object. In the King of Meditative Stabilization Sutra, it says, when page number 209, in the King of Meditative Stabilization Sutra, it says, with his body just like the color of gold, the Lord of the world is excessively beautiful. The Bodhisattva whose mind is involved in this object is said to be in equipoise meditation. You should make something like that your basis of observation. Moreover, between the 2 types of visualization, one in which the object is freshly created by mind and one in which the object is naturally present, the latter has a great distinction of generating faith and accords with teachings shared among the vehicles. Therefore, you should proceed in the latter way. As you research the basis of observation, the basis for the mind to focus on, you should first find a good painted image, statue, or the like of teacher's body. Look at it again and again, and having captured the features, familiarize yourself with its appearance as an object of the mind. Or else you should reflect on the meaning of a description by some spiritual master that you have heard, make it appear to your mind, and pursue your basis of observation. However, rather than making the basis of observation appear like a painted image, statue, or something like that, you should train for it to appear in the aspect of actual Buddha. It makes perfect sense that Master Yeshide refused the practice of some people who set up an image in front of them, look at it with the eyes and meditate by staring at it. This is because meditative stabilization is not accomplished in the sense consciousness, but rather in the mental consciousness. So the actual object of meditative stabilization is a direct object of the mental consciousness, which is why you must focus on that. Also, in accordance with what is explained earlier, it is taught that you must observe the meaning generality of the actual observed object or its image that appears. Elsewhere, it says that although part of the image is detailed and part of it is rough, you should first observe the rough part, and afterwards, when your meditation on that is stabilized, observe the details. According to experience, the rough features appear very easily, so you should work on the basis of observation from the rough outline of its image. In particular, when you practice, as long as you have not accomplished fully qualified meditative stabilization, it is inappropriate to move between many different types of objects. This is because if you practice meditative stabilization while moving between many dissimilar objects, it will become a great obstacle to your accomplishment of calm abiding. Arya Sura says, by stabilizing on one object, stabilize the thoughts of the mind. By going through a lot of objects, the mind is disturbed by mental afflictions. And lamp for the path to enlightenment also says it with determination on anyone, the object that is suitable, place the mind on something virtuous. That being so, the measure of first getting the basis of observation that the mind focuses on this. When you visualize the head, two arms, torso, and two legs successfully a couple of times and attend to the whole body at the end of that, then if you are able to see merely half the limbs and parts appear to the mind, you should be satisfied with that and focus on it, even if there is no brilliant clarity. That is because if you are not satisfied with that alone and do not focus on it, but rather want more clarity and repeatedly visualize, the object will become clearer. However, not only will you fail to acquire stable meditative stabilization, this will become an obstacle to its acquisition. But even though the object is not very clear, if you focus on just that mere partial object, you will acquire meditative stabilization quickly. Then due to its benefit for clarity, the clarity aspect will also be accomplished easily. This appears in Master Yeshide's advice and is essential. Now you should focus on the whole body to the best of your abilities. And if some parts of the body appear clearly, you should focus on those. If they become unclear again, you should focus on the whole again. At that time, if a color shift, number or size appears that was not ascertained earlier, for example, you want to meditate on something yellow and something red appears, you want to meditate on a sitting figure and a standing one appears, you want to meditate on one and two appear, or you want to meditate on something big and something small appears, it is inappropriate to pursue them. So you should only make your original object with whatever it is the basis of observations. So today I will end here. By the benefits that I have accumulated, may the teachings of Buddha and also especially Lama Tsongkhapa's teachings be able to spread to all parts of the world. Mantle offering to thank the Master for giving us the holy teachings. The prayer for the stages of path and the lineage of the Guru. By accumulating through long effort the two collections as vast as the sky, may I become the chief of the conquerors, guide of all beings whose minds are blinded by ignorance. Also in all lives until I reach that point, may Manjukusha look after me with loving kindness. After I find the supreme path complete in the stages of teaching, by accomplishing it may I please the conquerors. By skill in means inspired by strong loving kindness, may the vital points of the body that I precisely know clear away the mental darkness of beings. May I then uphold the conqueror's teaching for a long time in regions where the supreme precious teachings are not spread, or where it is spread but then declined. May I illuminate the treasure of happiness and benefit with the mind deeply moved by great compassion. May this treatise on the stages of spiritual enlightenment, well founded on the wondrous deeds of conquerors and their children, bring glory to the minds of those who want to be free and long preserve the conqueror's achievement. As for all who provide conditions that support integration of the good path and clear away conditions that inhibit that integration, whether they are human or not, may they never be separated in all their lifetimes from the pure path praised by the conquerors. When I strive to properly achieve the supreme vehicle through the 10 deeds of teaching, may I be accompanied always by those who have power, and may an ocean of good fortune pervade all directions.
Lama Sa Do Be De Do Je.
In short, may the good fruit of any extensive prayer to fully protect the land of snows made by the powerful protector, cherishing in the presence of Buddhas and their children, appear soon here and now. By the interdependence of the profound suchness of appearance and emptiness, by the power of the three sublimes, compassion and the force of truth, may the power of the truth of infallible action and result, may our prayer of truth be fulfilled soon and without obstacles. Please say all the prayer again, the prayer of the word of truth. Namo Ratnatraya, homage to the Triple Gem, magnificent masters of an ocean of limitless good qualities, those gone to bliss of the three times, your children and disciples looking about destitute migrant like your only child, please pay attention to my true words of sorrow. I expand the doctrine of completely perfect capable one, which removes the suffering of cyclic existence and solitary peace for abundant extensive welfare and happiness in Jambudeva. Increase the 10 kinds of Dharma contact with all those learned and accomplished holders of doctrine. By pacifying all the unbearable dangers of sickness, weapons, and famine, cause those migrated totally compelled by intolerable strong karma, stricken by the torture of sufferings without respite, to recover their breath in an ocean of happiness and joy. Particularly for all the migrators being in the religious snow and oppressed with evil actions by the buffoon hordes from the black side, devoid of love, may your power of compassion arise and quickly stop the flow of blood and tears. May all the unruly groups of people, maddened by the demon of afflictive emotions, who by their rough behavior in themselves and others, fully obtain eye which sees the object of compassion, and obtain magnificent love, kindness, and affection. The wish that since long time dwells in our heart is a glorious complete freedom for the entire Tibetan country. Best to assume the fortune to enjoy the celebration of spontaneous religious and secular harmony, all the people who completely give up their cherished body, life, and possessions and endure hundreds of hardships for the sake of the doctrine, its holders, their country, and their compatriots, may they be guarded by the compassion of the protector Buddha. In short, may the good fruit of extensive prayer to fully protect the land of sinners, may the powerful cherishing in the presence of Buddhas and their children, happy soon here and now, may our prayer of truth be fulfilled soon and without obstacles.
Субтитры создавал DimaTorzok